Joining us right now, former outstanding NFL receiver, mostly with the Packers. He's now with the NFL Network, an analyst there. You can see him tonight on NFL Network's NFL Total Access at 7 p.m. Eastern. And that's James Jones. James, Joe, and Evan in New York. How are you?
What's going on? How you guys doing?
We're doing all right.
We're all right. We're disappointed because we wanted your former head coach,
yes,
Mike McCarthy, to coach the Jets. Are you surprised that in this wave of coaching hires, he didn't get another look after what he did in Green Bay?
No, I'm not surprised. Uh-oh. And then again, I am surprised. And the reason why I say that is because Coach Mike is a special coach, number one. He has the ability to change the whole organization around. But I think when he was tendering Green Bay, there was a lot of things that he wanted to do, and that was out of his control. And I think from what happened in Green Bay and him being, you know, basically a free agent to get a job, he wanted certain things. Like, he wanted control of certain things. Like, he wanted, you know, and I think some teams and probably the Jets didn't want to give him as much control as he wanted to feel like he can change the program around. Because I know when I was there with Coach Mike, Coach Mike would tell me, like, man, there's certain players that I wish I could keep, but, you know, obviously he got outruled. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I think him going into this job, he's going into these interviews with that mindset to where, listen, okay, I want to be in charge of a lot of the stuff that's going on so I can do it my way.
Right.
Kind of like a Gruden has it set up, but Coach Mike is far from a Gruden. And what I mean by that is, you know, he listens to people. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he wants to do it his way and he's just not going to listen to people. Like, he's a very coachable person. Just like he used to tell us, we want coachable players. He's a very coachable person. You know what I'm saying? I think, I don't know, but I'm just saying what I think. I think he went and had the interview with the Jets, and the Jets didn't want to give him a lot of control. So they're like, okay, we're just going to go another route. That's just my opinion.
No, it makes sense. Yep. And the owner said initially he didn't want to give that kind of control. Do you think in Green Bay, if he had more control, if he was able to do those things that he wanted, that the Packers would have been better off?
I think so, because when you're a head coach, you're around your players 24/7. You know what your players bring. And your players might not even necessarily bring athletic ability and scoring a bunch of touchdowns to the field, but in the locker room, there's great leadership. They're great people. They keep the team close and make sure everybody's head is on the right track. And only coaches that's with you 24/7 see that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you might be a running back and you might get 300-400 yards a season. You know what I'm saying? But in that locker room, you're a stand-up guy. You got a C on your chest. Everybody looks up to you. You hold everybody accountable. No excuses. You need certain guys like that in the locker room, and it's not usually necessarily about numbers. And Coach Mike knew that, because Coach Mike always used to tell us, it's not the most talented teams that win all the championships. It's the closest teams, the teams that love each other, the teams that go out there and sell out for each other, not worrying about money, not worried about numbers, just going out there worried about wins, no matter how we got to do it. If you catch one ball a game, you catch one ball a game. So you need certain guys in the locker room, and certain guys, you know, got let out of there because their numbers wasn't up, or certain guys got let out of there because their numbers wasn't up, an attitude that, you know, he wanted to keep. So I think that there would be a lot more guys there if Coach Mike could really do it his way, and it probably would have led to more wins.
You know, it also seems, James, that there's a lot of people taking shots at McCarthy. I got to say that. I mean, at least, you know, in the media here and different things, you know, that, you know, maybe he was washed up. You know, maybe he was this. Maybe he was that. You know, you hear these guys get all these credit for all these, like Adam Gase, who the Jets just hired, is like getting credit for what Peyton Manning did in Denver. But right, it's ridiculous. But McCarthy gets like no credit for the guy that developed Aaron Rodgers right from the beginning. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's crazy how certain things work out, man. You know, it's you know, even though Adam Gase lost in Miami, they still think that he's a quarterback guru and that he's going to get Sam Darnold right.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I don't know why they think that. They may have did some deep background searching, and they may have been around this guy for a long time. There's people in that building that knew this guy for a long time. I don't know. But it's something that they think that this is the guy for the job. But Coach Mike always used to tell us, when you lose, they're going to say anything and everything about you.
When you win,
you're the greatest player, you're the greatest coach, they're going to find great things to say about you. But when you lose, they're going to find bad things to say about you. And it comes with the business. And Coach Mike taught me a lot of stuff, and that's one thing that stuck with me. You know, never read your press clippings because when you win, they're going to talk very good about you. Oh, he developed Matt Flynn. He developed Graham Harrell. He developed Aaron Rodgers. They're going to say all these guys. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But when you lose, they're going to say, oh, he didn't help Aaron Rodgers. He didn't develop anybody. And that's just part of the business. So I don't know why certain people can lose and still be the quarterback guru or the coach guru, and some people lose and they're bad coaches. I don't know.
Well, I'll give you the reason I think, and you can use this on NFL Network, all right? Because the New York Jets have no idea what they're doing.
Yep. Amen.
I think that's
no, it's true, James. Amen. No doubt about
no
it.
No idea.
Horrible ownership, have no idea what they're doing. You're right. That's it.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not in New York. I just follow a couple of the players from the Jets, and I know they got some very good young players on the defensive side of the ball. You know, you feel like you have your franchise quarterback at Sam Darnold. But I feel like, kind of like Jerry Jones in Dallas, eventually you're going to have to let go and let the guys you hired get this thing rolling. Because they're the guys that's out on the road watching film on all these college players. They're the guys that's at these senior bowls, at the combine and all that, that know how to look at talent, know what it takes. So it's time to pass the torch. Yeah, you're still the owner. You're still the whatever. But it's time to pass the torch. Let these guys under you build this team the way they want to build the team and get the right guys in there that want to get in there. And trust me, when you start winning, you're going to get all the credit. But you can't sit up there and keep making these decisions and decisions that you really are the wrong decisions, you know, because you're not out there scouting and looking at these players. You know, so it's time to pass the torch, that ownership.
We're talking to James Jones, of course, former Green Bay Packer, won a Super Bowl. He's on the NFL Network now. How was, towards the end in Green Bay, did you view the relationship between the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, and Mike McCarthy? Was it good at that time?
Listen, I always tell people all the time, Coach Mike and Aaron's relationship is like a marriage. You know, when you fight and argue with your wife, if you go get something to eat, you better believe you're bringing her something back to eat, right? You know, it's just, you know, it's a love relationship. You're going to fight, you're going to argue. Coach Mike always used to tell us, family argues and they fight. But at the end of the day, they love each other and they go ride for each other. Coach Mike and Aaron's relationship is just like that. They both competitors. They both wanted to win. You better believe they'll argue, they'll fight, they'll disagree on something, but they respect each other. They loved each other. And not only that, at practice, I mean, they were best friends at practice. You know what I mean? And I know certain people, I mean, everybody's not at practice. You only see the expressions and all that on game day, so you really don't know their relationship. But if I would have been somebody that walked in there from day one and seen the way Coach Mike and Aaron interacted, I would have thought they were best friends. You know what I mean? So me being there for 8 years, their relationship was great. And it's crazy that people say that because some of the, you know, expressions and things like that that they see on the sidelines or, you know, hear Aaron change the play and all that. Listen, Coach Mike gives Aaron freedom to get us in the right play, change the play, all that. That's why he's one of the best quarterbacks in the business. But their relationship, no. I hate when I hear people say their relationship was like this, like that, because it definitely wasn't like that. Coach Mike and Aaron met during the week, always talked to each other, always cracking jokes. Coach Mike always came in there and met with the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. It was never nothing like, oh, man, these two dudes don't get along. You know, now it was plenty of times where, you know, like, okay, listen, you know, they're disagreeing on certain things, which is fine. We're competitive. We're trying to win. You know, you're supposed to have that. And that, I think that's what builds a strong relationship. But, no, that relationship was perfectly fine, man. Coach Mike is probably the best coach that I ever played for.
Talking again to James Jones, a former Packer receiver. Let's look at the playoffs this weekend. Let's start with what I think is the most intriguing matchup to me anyway, and that's the Patriots and the Chargers in Foxborough. What's your thoughts about that game, James?
My thoughts on it is that the Los Angeles Chargers are going to win the ball game.
Wow.
And the reason I say that is because this is a bad matchup for the New England Patriots defense. Because first and foremost, you have to stop the run. And their eyes are going to be on Melvin Gordon. And, you know, don't get me wrong, Bill Belichick, greatest coach to ever live. But he's used to stopping one or two wide receivers. You could double A.B., and you could put your best corner on Juju. You could double Adam Thielen. You could put your best corner on Stephon Diggs. But the Los Angeles Chargers have three very good wide receivers, Tyrell Williams, Mike Williams, and obviously Keenan Allen. But the special thing about them all is that they move all over the field. Nobody's stuck to the outside position. Nobody's just stuck to the slot. So Mike Williams goes in the slot. Keenan Allen goes outside. Next play, Keenan Allen in the slot. Mike Williams outside. Tyrell Williams in the slot. And I just think the matchup with Phillip Rivers in that secondary, those three wide receivers, who I believe one of them, if Bill Belichick decides to take away two of them, double Keenan, take away Mike with the best corner, Tyrell Williams is going to have a huge day and make a lot of plays. He's going to be on the third corner and a lot of one-on-one opportunities. And then again, you got to realize that they still have to stop Melvin Gordon, not just in the run game, but in the pass game. I feel like if the Chargers go out there and spread the New England Patriots out, that they will win this game and they will be moving on.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Can Patrick Mahomes overcome a bad defense, a coach that's known for blowing big games, and a franchise that hasn't won a home playoff game since 1993 with the Kansas City Chiefs?
You know, this game really scares me. And it's not that Patrick Mahomes scares me, because Patrick Mahomes is the MVP of our league. He's playing at a high level. He's a special player. He's going to go out there, and he's going to play well. He's going to put up big-time numbers. But I don't know if it's going to be enough to put away Andrew Luck and the Colts. The Colts are probably arguably the hottest football team out there right now. They're protecting Andrew Luck like no other. And they're running the ball down everybody's throat. And I don't know if this is a favorable matchup for the Kansas City Chiefs offense. But listen, I think it's going to be 40-40.
Wow.
I think it's going to be a shootout, because I think Patrick Mahomes is special. I don't know if they find a way to stop all of them and their weapons. And I don't think they find a way to stop Andrew Luck neither. So I think it's going to come down in this game to the team with the ball to last will win the game.
Before, I know you got to go. You only got a couple minutes, so I'm going to ask you about the Eagle game, because the Nick Foles magic continues. Here they are. They got a beatdown about a month or so ago in New Orleans, and here they are to play the Saints again. How about this Eagles-Saint game?
Listen, I was on NFL Network talking about this yesterday, and I said, I know everybody's on me. James is crazy. He's calling all these upsets. He's taking the Chargers. He's taking the Colts. He's taking the Eagles to win the ball game. He's taking the Cowboys. But I just feel like it's not an upset. It's favorable matchups. And for the Philadelphia Eagles, the blessing is, since Nick Foles stepped in there, number one, their defense is only giving up 55 yards a game. They're averaging 17 points a game allowed on defense. It's a different team coming in there. And with Nick Foles coming in, he spreads the ball around to everybody. But not only that, his favorite targets are on the outside, and that's Alshon Jeffery on the outside and Nelson Aguilar when they put him on the outside. He's taking the one-on-one opportunities on the outside of the field. And that is the one-on-one matchups. You know, Carson Wentz was zoomed in on Zach Ertz, who's all in the middle of the field. Is he getting a lot of catches? Is he balling? Is he one of the best tight ends in the game? Yes. But I think the weakness in the Saints' defense is their second corner, and that's Eli Apple. And I feel like if you get Alshon Jeffery on him, yeah, it'll be contested catches, but Alshon Jeffery has showed that he's going to come down with those catches, and Nick Foles has given him the opportunity. And I just feel like when we won the Super Bowl in 2010, we played the Atlanta Falcons. They were 13-3. We went out there. They beat us. We came back in the divisional round, and we blew them out. I'm not saying this game's going to be a blowout, but I'm just saying it's when you go back and watch film of the last game, it's a lot of plays you left out there that you said, if we make these plays and we do this, we'll have an opportunity to win. And I think that's the Eagles' mindset.
We appreciate it, James. Thank you very much for
popping
on.
Thanks a lot, James. Appreciate it, man.
Not a problem.
All right, man.
James Jones, former NFL player, many years with the Green Bay Packers. Now he works for NFL Network.